And we'll stand and dedicate this child to the Lord. Are we standing over here? Now, that's a pretty piece of paper. Okay. All right. Let us commit to the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace in the life of your people because of the Spirit of life you have given to each and every one of us. And as Jesus, when he was young, Father, was brought to that temple to be dedicated for the work, O Lord, for his life and for everything, O Lord, that you know he will represent in your kingdom. So, Father, Lord, has the family of God right here now. I dedicate this little boy, Adam, into your hand too, Father. The Lord, if there is a future, Father, if the world will continue, and we pray, Lord, it will not be, but that your Spirit, O Lord, will come and just touch him anyway. As long as he will live in this young life, may the Lord, you will grow up, Father, in the fear of the Lord as well. And I pray, Father, Lord, you just touch him and give him the grace, give him the good health. And then, Father, Lord, the parents, Brother Clement and the mother Zoe here, will do their utmost best, Father, to raise him up in the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
And watch over them, Father. Watch over this little one in the early stage to be running around as he grows up. And we thank you, Father, for the joy of this child. We ask this, Father, your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Hey. Okay, say hello, and then, there you go. All right, God bless you. Gracious Father in heaven.
Amen.
A very present day we have today, Father. A day you have set aside of the week, Lord, that we could gather together in the house of the Lord. Not in this place, Father, but in the house of the Lord, and we are your house. We thank you, Father, for your presence, your Spirit in our life. And even as we gather together, Lord, we know you will always be here with us as we gather in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, Father, as you approach thy word, break it down to us again. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Welcome to the PPT. Okay. All right, let's go to Hebrews chapter 6, and we are finishing this series of the principles of the doctrines of Christ. All right, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, 2, and 3. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Not laying then a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit. And since we are here today, it is God's permission. Or God permit us to continue to go on. And we go on unto perfection as we should. Alright, so we are on this seven principle, if we can say it as a seven principle. Of course, there's only actually six. This one is, after the six we have, we go on unto perfection. Alright, now, this doctrine or this teaching on perfection has two parts to it, or we will say it can be classified into two classes. Alright? Let me just show you here on this PPT here, that the word perfection in the Bible, in the Old Testament, New Testament, they are translated from different Hebrew words. But there are two Hebrew words that are well known and being translated in the Old Testament, and so there are also two in the New Testament. And when we deal with this perfection, we have to deal with the perfection pertaining to God, all right, which is absolute or sinless perfection.
And then the second one is the perfection pertaining to believers, you and me. Alright, as regarding our maturity, the full stature, our growth in the Lord. Alright, so let us look at the word right here. I'm trying to do what is right. Alright. There are two Hebrew words translated as perfect in the Old Testament. The first one is shalem, which is defined as whole, just, finished, to the 100% mark. Perfect, as in a perfect student. I made this example, I put it here so that you can see it. Alright, finished as someone, okay, I finished my word, it means perfect already, you have done it, as to that sense. The second Hebrew word is tamim, complete, plain, whole, upright, perfect. Ah, that's a bad term on this word. The state. Okay, the word here is the state or statue or status. Pure breed, pedigree. Now also the word tamim is also translated without blemish over 40 times in the Old Testament. So now these are the two main words that we see in the Old Testament. Shalom and tamim. And they are translated as perfect in the English King James Version. Alright, some other version may have used other word instead of the word perfect. So, but you need to know what, when we say perfect, means. When you complete a job, well done, say that's perfect. That means it is, well, a job finished completely, good, whole. Alright? But when we say God is perfect, we say Him has been pure, sinless, absolute. You understand? So when we look at the word, when Paul said, let us go on to perfection, these two form of perfection is involved in our life. Alright, so let us look at some of the words that we see here. Tamim. Let us go to the book of Leviticus, chapter 22 and verse 21. So these are the example here. Leviticus chapter 22, verse 21. No man that have a blemish of the seed of Aaron, the priest, shall come to offer the offering of the Lord made by fire. He have a blemish, he shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God. In this chapter 21, verse 21. But that's 22, verse 21. Is the one I want to pick up. That's more clear on this one here. Whosoever offer a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or the free will offering in beasts or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. So no blemish means to say that you see here it's translated the word without blemish over 40 times. That means to say that it must be perfect, it must be a pedigree, it must be pure. Do you understand what it is? That means the lamb that is chosen for a sacrifice must be pure. No stain, no brownish, anything. There is no imperfection in that lamb that is to be sacrificed on the Day of Atonement even. Okay, so the word that means therefore is you. Let's go to Genesis 6, 8 to 9. Here, we know this verse well enough anyway. Genesis chapter 6, 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generation of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. Now I said this on Friday, I shared with you, and in fact many times I said I've discussed with the, you know, when you talk to, usually in the overseas when, after the convention is over, minister will gather around and sometimes the congregation wanted to join in and they will ask questions. Even sometimes it's an open question as well for the whole congregation. And among them, of course, there will be ministers and sometimes you have believers from other camps that come and they will try to, you know, because they want to, well, they have listened to all those things they said about Brother Gansel, they want to sit and they try to see if they can parley with me and try to bring me down. You know, when that's what many people try and say, I can break Brother Gun down. They try to using the Bible and they can't. Because our source is always the Bible. Okay? So now, here we have in verse 8, he said, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we know that the definition that Brother Branham gave about grace is unmerited favor. Isn't it? The unmerited favor, that means to say that you have nothing to do with it. We know you have nothing to do with whatever God chose, whatever, however God did with the life, by His grace, by His mercy, it is all a merit of favor. Okay, so now, because of that, when we look at verse 9, he said, these are the generation of Noah. He was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. The word here in verse 9 that says perfect is the same word, tamin, pure. It means pure breed. And that tells me that Noah was actually a pure satyr, not a mixed seed. And there's always rules that God put in His Bible. And as I said this, God is a God of orderliness. Okay, there is order in God, and even in His work, everything that He do, there is perfection in the orders of things that He creates. Alright? So when we come to this verse, perfect here means that he's perfect. But watch what he says, the word just. What does you understand by the word that Noah was a just man? Just means he is righteous. Huh? Just means he is righteous. In the study of God, God look at him as righteous. Right? You understand what I'm saying? Look at Abraham. God impute righteousness on Abraham because he believed. Right? As long as they stand before God and believe what God said, in God's sight, God imputed them righteousness. You understand that? Huh? Write me right now, every one of us here, sitting here, if you are born again, if you believe in the Word of God, you believe, do you know that God imputed on you righteousness? And if the righteousness that God put on you is the righteousness of Christ, you don't have it. It is given to you. You don't have eternal life. It is given to you. That which God gave to Christ, Christ gave it to you. We are His inheritance. Do you understand that? Huh? Because Jesus, the Bible said that the Son has no life, but the Father who has life gives the life to the Son, and the Son gives it to us. And the Father gives the righteousness to the right Son gives it to us. God gave the revelation to Jesus, Jesus gives it to us. You see, everything is given to us by God through His Son, Jesus Christ. You see. And that's why when Christ died on the cross, everything that was judged upon Him, God has imputed to us your righteousness. How can we be judged again? You can't. Isn't it so? God has taken our sins on Him because Christ has taken it all up into Calvary. You see. So when we look at these two verses here, like it or not, Noah was a pure breed. He was a satyr. Not because he was a satyr that God gave him grace. No. Because there are others who are pure satyr. Do you believe that? Yes. But they were not just. Do you see what I'm talking about? Huh? Now, not all Israel are Israel. Not all Christians are Christian. Not all satyr are the satyr that God looks at as being righteous. Though they are pure satyr. Do you see that? Not all pure satyr are saved. They all died out there in the flood. Isn't that so? Except for Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives. Only eight souls were saved. You see. I hope you understand that. So, when God, well, look at someone and he gives grace to that person. That is God's choice. Not yours, not mine. Okay? So let us look at Shalom. Deuteronomy 25, 15. Deuteronomy 25, 15. All right. But thou shalt have a perfect and just way. A perfect and just measure shall thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God give thee. Right? I mean, perfect and just, I mean, you know, you ever go to buy something which, especially, I know, I remember, every time I used to buy chestnut, roast chestnut, you know, Daulat, huh? At the, you know, where you have busy traffic, human traffic, you know, at the MRT station. And they will put the packet there and it says $5. But they will have a machine there, a weight scale there, and they will say 1 kilo, I don't remember how much they put. So I decided not to buy the packet, I decided to buy the kilo. When he weighs it, I pay for it and I hold it in my hand, I know that the weight is less than what it is. I go back and I weigh it, and true enough, I got cheated of 100 grams, at least 20% of what I buy. You see, so that weight is not just, it's not perfect. That's a cheat. You see, people will do that, huh? Well, anyway, that's what we have. The word shalom here means perfect, as to the sense that everything that is correct, well measured. Okay, the next example is 1 Kings 8:61. 1 Kings chapter 8. And verse 61. Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in His statutes and to keep His commandment as at this day. Let your heart therefore be perfect. Oh, just remember this. Let our heart be perfect. We can all have a perfect heart, huh? Right? Just remember, we want to be honest, we want to serve the Lord with a perfect heart. Okay, so this is nothing to do with the word tummy, which is pure, sinless, absolute, pure. But this perfection is you're standing before the Lord. God said, do this, you do it. Alright? God said, don't cheat with the weighing machine. And you don't cheat with the weighing machine. And you do your business sincerely, honestly. Alright, so that is a perfect person. Okay. Alright. Now the Greek word. The New Testament also has two words, translated perfect. The first is katastiso. To restore, to fit thoroughly, adjust, completely train, perfection. The second one is teleos, complete, ended, perfect, or full edge, the state again, the state, a point, apex, so is ended as. Ended as a limit. Okay, that is to say a full age. It means you have reached the point already. Okay? Now this is, both this word is almost equivalent also what we see in the Hebrew word translated perfect. Katatezo has to the word shalom. Okay? And teleos has to complete and a perfect, as the very apex. What it should be, and that's what we have in the New Testament. Mentioned a lot about this. Alright. Let us look at an example of the words here. Katatezo. 2 Corinthians 13:11. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Be perfect, do that which is right. 1 Thessalonians 3:10. 1 Thessalonians 3:10. Night and day, Pray exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Working towards maturity, going towards living the kind of life as a Christian. Okay? Then we have Philios, Romans 12:2. So we can see the different word used that God is dealing with us to four purposes in our life. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the word perfect will of God. Now, you know, King James, there is a comma there. It should be perfect will. Okay? But it's an acceptable and perfect will of God. So, the will of God is perfect, is absolute. Is that what God, or what Paul intended, are telling you to move to that place to where God's will is perfect in your life? And since God is perfectly pure, sinless, that is what God wants you to attain to that status. Or to that stature. Okay? The next one we have, 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 10. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now verse 9, we know, Paul said, for we know in part, we prophesy in part. That is not perfect. We know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect, which is teleos, is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. The word tell you, when that which is perfect is come, what is that which is perfect is come? Now, in the first Corinthians, I've told you before, they believe that when Paul was writing this, the Bible was not yet complete. But how on earth, who knows when the Bible is complete or not? Everything is all just epistles. You know? So when they start collecting this Bible together, there are so many manuscripts. You know, there are hundreds and hundreds of them. Then all these theologians and all this, God was actually moving in there. His spirit was moving among these people who were very serious about wanting to take the one that is, they believe was inspired by God. So you know, just imagine that they sieve through so many volumes of manuscripts and then collect together only these 66. Just imagine. And yet only 66 books were actually truly inspired by God. It canonizes it. So when this 66 book were canonized, there's one volume, the first one didn't just say, the perfect is come. You know. And we don't need any more prophecy, any more speaking in tongues. But this is not what it means. The Bible says that when that which is perfect is come, it doesn't mean this Bible. Huh? Because as long as we are here, I'm standing here, and what Paul would say, for I know in part, I can only preach in part. Is that right? But that which is perfect is come, that which is teleos, the absolute. And what is the absolute? The one who is absolute. You understand? The one who we know when he is come, when Christ come, then this Bible will be no longer needed. Will be done away with. When Jesus Christ come on board, you still want to keep your Bible? You still need this. You still need this. When the very one who is walking on 2 feet is here, you don't need this. That's why when Jesus Christ was born and was in Jerusalem, in the temple, there is no Ark of the Covenant. Do you understand? Because the Ark of the Covenant is only a shadow of the real thing. You know what a shadow is? You stand in the light and you cast a shadow. The shadow is not you. It's something that is blurry. You know, the shadow can be long and short, isn't it? The closer to the light, maybe it looks a bit darker and clearer. But you know, if your light is above you, your shadow looks a little funny. If the light is below, you know, on the ground, you cast your shadow all on the wall, you look like a giant. There are only shadows of the real thing, not the image of it. You know what the image is? Image is when you look into the mirror. That is the image, because it reflects exactly who you are. Is that right? That's what the Bible is, only an image of the real thing, of the one who is the Christ, the one who is the Word. Do you understand? He is the living Word. This is the written Word. He's the one that breathed life into it, so that by His Spirit He can teach you and make this Word alive. And so, as long as we are here, we can only know in part, preach in part. But we keep on going to try to understand more. But when that, when this perfect is come, when Christ comes, this will be done away. Okay? Now in the future, you're not going to say that there will be a museum where you can see Bible there, you know, how many years old Bible, or things like that, which of course, you know, you have museums all over the world, they preserve all the relics and ancient artifacts. You understand? Alright, we got to look at the next one. Ephesians chapter 4. And, well, we know this verse. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. That is the word telios. Perfect man now. How you become a perfect is by the word. It's the word that is perfect that keep on coming to you, until you meet the very Word Himself. Yes. Okay? Alright. Let's go to the next point right here. Now, you know, I just put this out so you can see it. Job 11, 7 to 9. We'll look into this verse so that we can understand what the Bible says about the finite mind cannot uncover the limit of the Almighty God. Okay? Alright, that's Job 11. Alright, Job chapter 11, verse 7 to 9. Can thou by searching find out God? Can thou find out the Almighty unto perfection, means to the very limit of Himself? Alright. And it says further in verse 8, it is as high as heaven. What can thou do? Deeper than hell. What can thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. God is so big. God is so high. God is so low. How can you know Him? Huh? Can you research out and know God as He is? The finite mind cannot. That's what I put down there. The finite mind cannot uncover. But here, brother and sister, we are spiritual people. And in that we are spiritual, surely, we being God's children, He will reveal Himself to us. Little by little. Little by little. Now the same thing with the little Adam there. He cannot at this moment know all about his father. But he is learning every day as he grows up, as the father raised him. Isn't that so? Even brother John, your daughter, your son, don't know really you. Even at this moment, everything about you. Isn't that true? But they are still learning. You see, and we are still learning here of our Heavenly Father, all about our God. We are learning. And that's why when He is come, we know all things as we should be known. Do you understand that? But in this mind of ours, are we having a spiritual mind, not a carnal mind? That's why we can dive into the Word of God and know more about God. As much as we can know. You understand that? Okay? But it's limited by, of course, the flesh. That's so much because in this life we don't really know much more than what we can understand of God. Alright. Matthew 5:48. Huh. What is it, 45:48? A very well known verse. It says here, Jesus said, be thou a perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. You see, God who is perfect in His being, He is absolute, He is sinless in all His ways, His will is perfect. He can only demand no less than perfection from you and me. Now we're talking about perfection as the two creatures that God had created, the angels and men. Because we were created in His image, so were the angel in His image. That's why there is a free will. You know? But He cannot demand perfection from the dogs or the cats or the cockroaches. Alright? Because only those that were created in His image have a perfect will. I mean, have a will, a free will, to choose, to follow. Right? So that is why God, who is holy, said, Jesus said, be perfect, therefore perfect as your Heavenly Father who is in heaven is perfect. Alright. Now, let us look at this. Perfection is commanded before the law. 17:1 Genesis. Alright, here. We look at what it says. Genesis 17:1 And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me, without tellings, without perfect, as I am perfect, God is saying. It's under the law. You know, before the law, the law was not even given. Now, under the law, Deuteronomy 18:13. Now the law came, the law still say the same thing. Deuteronomy 18:13. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. Now this is especially, of course, a warning against hidden practices among the children of Israel. And the Levite, the priests are more even, you know, the camp of Israel, you know, the nation of Israel, you have the people. Then you have a tribe called the Levite. They are the one that deals with the tabernacle of Moses. They pack all the, you know, or the tent, or the what we call the setup. Okay, the furniture. So they are the Levite. Then there are the Levite, there is the priest. You see, the people, the Levite tribe, the priest are of the Levite. So, who is the one, which of these group are required more to be really perfect? It's the priest. Is it? And there comes the Levite, because they're the one that have to deal with the sacred things of the tabernacle. And then the people of God say, you are my people, be consecrated, be perfect. That's what. See that? Okay. Now, before the law, perfection is commanded. Under the law, perfection is commanded. What about today? Is perfection commanded? We read earlier on, and under grace, Matthew 5:48, that's what we read on. Jesus said, be perfect as the Father in heaven is perfect. He's telling that to the disciples. Now God commands, God enables a perfection which is possible and attainable in this life. And that there is a perfection which is His will and plan to bring His elect to His own state of sinless perfection. Now if God said, if Jesus had said to the disciples, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect, be tellios. Is it possible? Some people say, terrible. How can it be? How can we be as pure as God is pure? How can we be pure as God is pure? If it is not possible, God would not have said that. Do you believe that? Isn't it? And perfection is not as I said, perfection is two states. One is the maturity in this life when we move on to the spiritual, to what we become as God is. You understand that? So it is possible. And all this is made possible by one thing. By His own choice, His election. God will do it. Remember, He said it, He planned, and He purposed it according to His own will. And if His soul counsel with Himself to do it, it must be able to be done. Correct? If you say, no, not so possible, then you're already defeated. I mean, you don't believe that God is doing a work in your life to make you perfect. Isn't it? Yes. You see, and everything to His own state of sinless perfection. Huh? Now, we look at perfection as pertaining to God. Well, the perfection of God is His absolute. And being the His sinless, of course, sinless perfection. Hebrews 6:18. That's good for every one of you to turn to your Bible, whether you're fast or slow, doesn't matter. At least you get to turn, and before the year end, you probably can turn to the faster. And by next year, you'll be faster still. Hebrews 6:18. Now, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Now, thank God, as I said, is God make His, I mean, have a counsel with Himself and make His choice and plan whatever He planned. So let therefore His will be done. So if God is said what He will do and have planned and to carry out what He wanted to fulfill, therefore He must be able to do it. And that's why this verse, you know, provide the whole foundation, we will say. Okay, this verse, well, sort of cringes that it will be possible that we can be as we have come to the perfection that He intended for us. It says here that by two immutable things, which it was impossible for God to lie. Now God said, be holy as I'm holy. Right? And all that which is done for us through Christ at Calvary, He must be able to fulfill it. And since He already, well, we said right here in this verse, Paul said that there are two immutable things for God, impossible for God to lie. What are those two immutable things? Anybody? All that He is, all that God is, no, it's perfect. So, if it is perfection, and Paul said it is not possible for Him to lie, by two immutable things. His word, remember one thing, whatever God's word say in the Bible is true. So what are the two immutable things that He already made that He cannot lie? Come on, what is the two immutable thing? Are you forgotten? What is the first one? The word. Oh, we thought about the word. Okay, what word? Before there was a written word, what word? Go to verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. The first immutable thing that he made was the promise. He made a promise to Abraham. Right? Is it right? And because cannot serve by anybody greater than him because he is the greatest. There's nobody above him, so he served by himself. So because of this promise, which is his oath, which is his word, we'll say, which is his word, then he have to swear, make an oath, a vow. So by this two invincible things, the promise that he made, and the oath he made, he cannot lie. And because he cannot lie, he cannot fail. He said, I will do it, Moses, I mean Abraham. I promise you. And Moses said, okay, now you know, people swear, you know, I don't know, I sort of tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and so on, blah, 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 blah. Huh? Okay, then God says, no, I swear. But no, I swear by myself. You are that sort of thing. There's no greater than he, yeah, but he must keep the word he promised to Abraham. And that's why we don't have to worry so much about whether we, you know, about certain uncertainty in life, about this, about that. God promises. He promised so many, he makes so many promises in his word anyway. We know that he will carry it out. So, relax. And walk in the Lord and rejoice. And then right? So we'll grow, Brother Kenny, right? As you said, you know, you get up in the morning now, you don't feel so strong, huh? Every one of us is going to get up in the morning, as every day goes by, we don't get so strong anymore. You see. But I'm glad God keep you soon. Titus 1:2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Before the world already began, already promised already. Because why, when God made counsel with himself, alright, he considered those things that were not as though they were. You know, he already counseled with himself what it would be. What he sees what happened. He makes his choice. He chose, he predestinated. And then he said, alright, those things were not yet fulfilled, yet not come to pass, but I consider them finished. And you know, God saw even before you were born. He saw you growing up, and he saw you walking the life, and he sees you also. He saw you at the end of the journey. You believe in that? Yes. Or say, Brother God, what if I refuse to do it? Well, then you're a bastard. And you know what? God don't have a bastard children. Isn't that true? Yes. Either you're legitimate or you're illegitimate. If you're born of the word of God, you are legitimate. Isn't it? You bear a token of the Spirit in your life. Huh? All right. Now these are the various verses. We look, you don't have to turn to now, for you can just look at it. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. He is the rock, his work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, without iniquity, just and right is he. Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. For truly my words shall not be false. He that is perfect in knowledge is with you. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. Psalms 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Perfection, telios, God's perfection, is attainable. Alright, now we look at another. Perfection is pertaining to creatures. Now, when we talk about creatures, we're not talking about, as I said, the horse, or the dogs, or the cats, or the cockroaches, or the bees. We're talking about two creatures. The angels and men. Alright. Lucifer.
Well, we know him as Satan today. It's sad, huh? A beautiful name and a name, a beautiful angel, the most beautiful. And that's why I tell you one thing about it. If any of you men think that you are handsome, you better be careful. And even the girls think that you are beautiful, you better be careful. Huh? Alright? Don't look at your mirror too much in the morning and comb your hair. And take 10 minutes to comb your hair. You know how? You know, I always seen, I remember when I was young, every young man all have a comb in the back of his pocket. Today, young men have brushes. They don't use comb anymore. They brush the hair. They make it fluffy. You know, I said they use brushes. Right? And you know what the Bible said about Jezebel? She sat there, look at the mirror, tie her hair all the time. It takes so long to tie her hair. Oh, and beautify her face. And she was cast to the dog for food. Beauty is a very dangerous thing. And that's why a lot of people who are beautiful sold themselves to, well, Hollywood, model agency, you know, and then they go into, I mean, they won't even act, I mean, very few, I would say that actor, actresses maintain their life clean. Very few. There's a lot of vices going on, even in modeling. Yes, in fashion, you know, a lot of things that's going on. Huh? Okay. So, Lucifer was a beautiful name, isn't it? Have you ever said this before? Nobody wants to be called Lucifer. That's kind of strange. But Jonah, you know the name Jonah? Not Jonan, but Jonah. You know why people call him? So I remember when I was in Assemblies of God, there was one preacher, you know, evangelist, is called Jonah. And I wonder why he called himself Jonah. Because, I mean, everybody knows the story of Jonah, you know what I mean? But yeah, I realized later on that, because Jonah disobeyed God, he turned around. You see, so people want to call themselves Jonah is because their life was going the wrong direction. They turned around, going the other direction they wanted to go. You understand? So it's a good name, Jonah, even though it doesn't sound good. Huh? But Lucifer, beautiful name, nobody wants to be called Lucifer. Why? Because he fell and became Satan, the adversary of God. And yet I told him, there are some of you here carrying the name Lucifer, you know? Sister Lucy, do you know? You know that Sister Lucy? Yes. The name Lucifer actually means light. And that's what Lucy, Lucy means, Lucy. They all have the same name, you know, the root word, actually. You see? But it's a beautiful name, all right. Only that you call yourself Lucy, not Lucifer. We don't want to be called Lucifer. Alright, so that's a bad thing. So Lucifer was perfect in all his ways from the day he was created. Now let us just look into Ezekiel 28. Alright? Let us look into Ezekiel 28. And we have verse 12 to 15. And just see what I'll describe. 12 to 15. Solomon took up a lamentation unto the king of Tyrus. And said unto him, of course, but as you all know, Ezekiel was prophesying to the king of Tyrus, but he was looking at the spirit that was behind this king. Thus of the Lord, thou sealest out the sun, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, and the beryl, the onyx and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle and gold, the workmanship of thy tablet and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covered and hast set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in the way from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. But you have to make a choice. You know, that's the reason why we talk about free will. Every one of us was created, we all are created in the image of God. So were the angels. So being that they were created in the image of God, there must be a free will. God did not make them robot to worship God automatically. You know. And if there were a robot, and that means say that if God created us the same as robot, then we just worship God just, you know, like a crank up toy. And what purpose does it serve to God? You know. Okay? Alright, let us look at the next point. We don't look at the rest, we don't have to. Adam and Eve were perfect, as we understand. Was it not so that Adam and Eve was perfect? But yet, Adam, who was created in the image of God, had a free choice, free will. Let me ask you a question. It is always a funny thing to discuss when people ask questions. Say, Brother Gunn, why did not God just, you know, banish Eve away or judge her and put her to death? Because he said that they eat of it, thou shalt surely die. And so there will be no trouble. Well, if Eve is gone, you know, what happened to it? And he'd be the only one, isn't it? And there will be no another wife. Because we know, but people say, why not? Well, obviously, why not? Well, God can give Adam another wife, sure. Want to give him 10, 20 wives, 100,000 wives? It's possible. But according to God's plan already, and by the pattern and the shadow and the images that were set already in the scripture, by what we see, we know why he didn't do it. Because the Bible already showed to us that God put Adam to sleep and took from his side a rib. Just one. Huh? Isn't it so? And question of a wife, why not two? Since God knows that, well, Eve is going to sin, oh, make another one. Eve number two, Eve number three. And present three of them perhaps to Adam. What did he do? Because all these things is a mystery in God's predestinated plan. Huh? Okay, but why did not God choose create two men? Why did not God choose create two men? Let me tell you this. What the rabbi say? The rabbi said that why did God not create another man? Well, it's because that we all must come from the same father. So that if it's not so on the same father, one of them say, my father is better than your father. So that's once enough. Huh? So we're just the only one. Let's look at again. The fall is centered around the abuse of free will. Right? The angel were given free will, free choice. But in their self-will, they abused the free will God given to them. So the fall came. It's all centered around that abuse. Now we're all here, children of God. We all have free choices. Free will, but the Bible tells us, you know, how we should walk in as a Christian. And yet many times we abused it too. Huh? Self-will is the very essence and principles of sin. Self-will is the very essence and principles of sin. I hope that I said it right here. All sin is that which is contrary to God's will. No doubt about it. All sins is contrary to God's will. Is that not right? Yes. Alright. So let us look at the next section here. Perfection now here as pertaining to the saints. In the Old Testament, well, we have Noah. We heard about what it says in Genesis 6:9. Noah was just and perfect. And then we heard about Abraham. But God told him, walk before me, Abraham. Huh? Be perfect. And what about Job? The same thing. There was no man like Job who has two evil. right? And was perfect before the Lord. These are just an example. But all these saints were considered essentially perfect. I use the word essentially perfect. Before God, yet it was not a sinless perfection. It was a perfect heart, not head, before God. A wholehearted consecration to His will and way, holy for God, sincere before Him. Hence, accepted as perfect before God. Now, this is all we are today. You have a perfect heart. Remember, I told you to remember about the perfect heart? Not a perfect head. We don't believe God with the head. We believe God with the heart. Isn't that so? Perfect heart. A wholehearted consecration of to His will. That's why it's important that as Jesus told the disciple, be holy as the Father in heaven is holy. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Why? Then Jesus wanted the disciple to be fully into God, to know God and His life in them. Not just believing. Now look at Judas Iscariot. Now Judas Iscariot did not believe with the whole heart. It's all up here. He has a motive, not heart consecrated. That's why consecration is very important to us Christians. Are you consecrated to the Lord in the life that you live as a Christian? Are you consecrated to the Lord in the ministry that you have? Well, song leading. You need to be very consecrated. You need to take seriously when you are leading songs. When it comes time that you are leading song, you prepare it well. You pray over it, you know, what do you want to say? What do you want to share with the church when you stand here? You know. Don't take the ministry that you have lightly. But Brother God, I don't have the ministry in song leading. Oh yeah, you have, but you don't want to do it. That's what the Bible says, seek the best gift. Are you seeking the best gift that God can give it to you? Or you don't even bother about it? See? Consecration. Here is an example of this. Asa, the king. 2 Chronicles 15:16-17. Here he says here. And also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king. He removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in the roof. And Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burned it at the brook Kidron. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his day. His heart was right. Not a sinless perfection, no. But his heart was right before the Lord. He did what was right. That's what there is. We can do what was right in God, in our sight, but not with a perfect heart. Oh, okay, my turn. But then I think it's my turn to preach. You know, like sometimes, well, I just heard one of the brother, as I said, over the other fellowship was telling me. You know, I'm not a preacher. But every time my Sunday comes, I drank. Oh, my turn to come to preach. Then you see, he comes up to the pulpit without a desire. Don't put into it. But he says, oh, it's my turn to preach. Well, I have to preach, so I preach. You know. I have to sing, so I sing. I have to do this work, so I work. You don't do it wholeheartedly. You do it just to please God some heart. And Asa did that. His mother queen. But he wasn't. And he was a queen who get people to worship idol. So he turned down that idol. But what happened to him? You see, the high places were not taken away. You know what high places are? The shrine. You remember I told you what, whenever you read the Bible, high places, it's always a high elevation, high place. And you always know, even in religion today, people want to build shrines and temples as high up as possible in the mountain, even if they can build one on Mount Everest, they will do it. If nobody will go there and worship. They will build some high places. Because they believe God is high up. And so they want to build the shrine high up. But he didn't remove the shrine. You know. So he did that which was right in his own eyes and need to be done. And yet God still considered, nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect in all his days. So you can love God and do what you think is right, but your heart may not be perfect. You don't do it with a perfect heart. That's what I'm talking about. Okay? Right. Bible says, I was glad when he said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I wonder how many of you here, let me just, really, how many of you really, really look at the verse and say, yes, I really love to go for fellowship. Or do you drag about fellowship? Some people do, you know that. It's become a problem, a burden to fellowship. There's no such joy as coming to the house of God and fellowship all around the Word of God and about God. Share, you know, and just our life with each other. Okay, now perfection is pertaining to the oops, what happened. It's pertaining to the sin. Now in the New Testament. Jesus. Well, Matthew 5:48. We all know that we have a perfect as your Father in heaven, which is in heaven, is perfect. The first use of the word perfect by the perfect man. This is the beginning of Christ's ministry. He used the word. Be perfect as Heavenly Father in heaven is perfect. The perfect man said that. Be it telios as the Father in heaven is telios. Alright? So it's possible. You know, if he said so, it must be possible. Yes, sir. It's possible. Perfection. It's a divine standard of God, made possible by the atonement. Without the atonement, we cannot be perfect. So that's the reason why Jesus died. After all, in the Old Testament, already, before the law, perfection was demanded. Under the law, perfection was demanded. But it cannot be made possible without the atonement. Colossians 1:27-29. Now we turn to the Bible. Now you exercise your finger. Colossians 1:27-29. To whom God would have made known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. When whom we preach, warning every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Perfection is in Christ Jesus, without the atonement of Christ. Because God was a perfect man, he died on the cross, took away the sins from you and me, and hung it there. When he took the sins away, he put his spirit in us. That's why perfection becomes possible. Otherwise, not possible. Now I'm not talking about walking like a holy man dressed in saffron. Huh? You know what I'm saying? I'm not asking you to behave like a holy man who wears a yellow robe. Walking like a hermit, you know, I mean, walking like a, well, like a holy man, and perhaps be hermit up in somewhere in a mountain, in a cave. I'm not asking you to be held like the gents, who have to cover their face, I mean, their nose and their mouth, because they cannot breathe in the air that is open up, I mean, the air around them, because the bacteria get into their mouth and kill the bacteria. They're not supposed to kill the bacteria. Now, how come now, the Bible don't demand us to behave like that? Because we cannot be holy without holiness that belongs to someone forgiven to us. We cannot be perfect if someone did not pay the price. That's the beautiful thing of it. That's the beautiful, the beauty of it. Huh? You know, the Bible says, oh, I have sinned, it comes from the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. Finished. That's it. But God sent His only Son to give us eternal life. Huh? And if He give us the love of His Son in us, and since His Son is perfect, the perfect man, the spirit that is a perfect man that is in us, can make us perfect. Obviously. Isn't it so? Yes. You see. That's why the Bible says we are being transformed to His image. We have been transformed to His image. And how do you get transformed into His image? You've got to look into the mirror of His word. That's why you can see the image of yourself in it, whether you are clean or not. Whether you need to continue washing certain parts of your life that need to be washed. See that? Alright. Next one here. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Second Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Perfecting here means performing. Performing, I mean, so you say we look into the mirror of the Word of God. You know what a mirror is? Well, you know, the problem about mirror is that we only have a mirror for our face. Now, usually in the bathroom. We don't have a full-size mirror to look at ourselves. Except when you go to buy a pair of shoes. You have a full-size mirror. All you have to do is to look at the shoe, whether it looks nice or not. But why do we have a full-size mirror? Why just not have a little small mirror right there just to see where the shoe but a full-size mirror. I said, of course, you go to buy a dress. You have a full-size mirror in the changing room. Huh? But the Bible is a full-size mirror. We look into this mirror. That's why it says we cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh by looking into the mirror of God's Word. Because we're looking into the image of the reflection of Christ in us. Do you see what I'm talking about? When you need to clean yourself, when you need to perform the ritual, he says, you know, you go the life living right. But as the Spirit tells you what to do. Huh? Next one, Luke 6:40. Luke chapter 6, verse 40. Alright. The disciple is not above his master. Yes, of course. But everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Everyone is that is katatizo, perfectly trained, is be as his master. You see, that's why the Kung Fu master, when he teaches all those disciples, if one is perfectly well trained by him, he is like his master. So the same thing that we are not, of course, above Christ, not above Him. He's our master. But when we are being disciplined, perfectly disciplined, trained, brought to a stage where we are matured, we are just like Him. See, that's the reason. Now we are Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and we have verse 12 to 13. Not as though I had already attained, either was already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things that are behind me and reaching forward unto those things which are before. That's what Paul is talking about. Oh, not that I have already attained everything that is perfect. I've already attained. Yeah, I know that I'm perfect. Because Christ made me perfect. I know that I'm righteous. Christ made me righteous. I have what God promised. But I'm not attained to that state as what I should be. But I continue. I go on. You understand? I follow after. Just like when a person is born again. Like a baby. When you're born again, the first time, first you do, you take milk of the word. Then after that, you take semi-solid of the word. Then you take solid of the word. You keep on following after. Leaving those things behind. Alright? That's why Hebrews chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Is that right? Then I just put that back and go forward. You know this basic already. You have been to primary school. You have been to secondary school. Now go to high school. After high school, go on to university. After university, take your thesis. After you have a thesis, wear a halo on your head. You know what I'm saying? You, how you move on. And perfection is perfected. For us, we are being perfected. We are keep on, there's a perfecting state. We keep on moving. And yet God counted us as righteous. God counted us as religious. God call you saints. And if you are saints, you are sanctified. And alright? You cannot be both a sinner and a sinner. Do you understand? You cannot be a sinner. Right? Understand that. Okay. We have Hebrew 13. 21. Hebrew 13, 21. Make you perfect. Oh well, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, to Christ Jesus, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Perfect in every good work to do his will. Yeah. Because of all this, because our perfection is made possible by the atonement of Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul having the revelation. Look at the way he wrote. Huh? And you have not seen Peter talk so much about this as Paul did. Huh? And last, 1 Peter 5:9, 5:10. 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, who have, oh, you know where Peter lived in. I mean, when I say go to the book by Ezekiel, you know who is living next door to Ezekiel? You know, the Bible is all arranged in a row of houses, huh? So I said, go to the book of Job. You know who lives next door to Job? Okay, I hope you know. 5:10, alright. But the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory, remember, eternal glory, no matter what the glory of God is. The glory of God is all about his word. Huh? Himself, holiness, absolute, sinless, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After you have suffered a while, that's what Peter said. After you have suffered a while, how many? How long have you been suffering? Peter said, after you have suffered a while, you know, he didn't say after you have suffered 10 years, 20 years. A while only. What is a while? So, oh, brother, I've been suffering for 20 years. But 20 years is not even one day. Because to God, one day is 1,000 years. So what is 20 years? A while, that's what Peter said. After you suffered a while, make you perfect. Establish. Strengthen. Settle you. You know, that's what sometimes, like even Sister Bri was telling me about, you know, giving me his testimony of the experience that he go through with, her mother-in-law. How that she has to carry her up and down. She herself went through her own crisis. And yet, out of that, you know, God is always present. That's why when what Paul said is true. You know, when you're really down and out, when you feel that God is not around, you go on your knees and you find the presence of God. Sometimes God has to allow this little suffering to come so they put you on your knee to know His presence, that He is to God. But the problem is, the more we look at the problem, the bigger the problem gets. And if I say, oh, it's hard to solve. Because you're looking at the problem. And you get big. Alright? Now, the perfect man. That's Ephesians 4, 12 to 13. Let's go back to this verse. And just read it. Ephesians 4, 12 to 15. Or 12 to 13. For the perfecting of the saints. Now, that which Christ gives. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. For the perfecting of the saints. This perfecting of course is katechismo. Means perfecting katechizo. Means bringing to maturity. For the working of maturity in the sin, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto telios man. Alright? Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You see, I said that's the twofold. One, maturity. Perfecting us towards maturity. The other one is perfecting us to being sinless. So in order for you to reach the state of what God is, He has to perfect you through the Word. That's why the ministry is given to perfect, to mature you. Till you come to be a telios man. To be a telio man. Okay? That's what God is doing. Using the Word. Using the ministry. Right. The perfect man will have, well, these are some examples, perfect heart, perfect holiness, a perfect peace, a perfect way, a perfect tongue, a perfect love. All these verses, I think you all pretty well verse with all this. And then, the seed of perfection. Interesting on this one. Now, the seed of perfection is planted within the believer in the new birth. 1 Peter 1:23. So this is how it works. How God gets to perfect you. If you're being born again, this seed is placed in you, as according to Peter. Chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which live and abide forever. By the Logos of God. Okay? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Logos of God, which live and abide forever. That's the incorruptible seed. That's the revelation. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Word was with God. The Logos was with God. That is the revelation. God gave it to you in Christ Jesus. That's the incorruptible seed. And it's from there the seed began to grow and bring forth fruit. And you know what's in the fruit? It's the seed. Right? Seeds begat seed. You know that, don't you? The only thing when we plant seed, we want to eat the fruit. Nobody wants the seed. You always throw away the seed. But it's the seed that is the life, not the fruit. The fruit itself has no life. It's only for you to eat. The seed, the life is in the seed. Right? Mango seed you plant because you get mango. You eat a mango, you throw away the seed, that's all. Nobody cares. Walking and living in obedience to that word. That's the one here. To that word. What word is that? The incorruptible seed. Alright. So when a person walks and lives in obedience to the word, he is counted perfect in Christ. Hebrews 13, 28 to 21. Okay, let's look at Hebrews 20, 28, 13 again. Hebrews 13, 28 to 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that has the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, have made you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well pleasing in His sight through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Just imagine that. The everlasting covenant. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Remember we say, perfection is only attainable. It's made possible only by the atonement. As opposed to, let us move on to perfection. You know all these principles of the doctrine of Christ? Now move on to perfection. And that's what we are doing. See that? We're not going back to the same old thing all the time, you know. Preaching the same simple thing all the time. We need to go on to maturity. And we'll come to the fullness of perfection in the ultimate, which of course we read over Ephesians 4:13, unto a perfect man. You see, I love these two verses here. These two verses. Or to these two texts. Make you perfect in every good work to do His will. Until you come to the stature of the perfect man. Telios. Like God is. Be He perfect as God is perfect. It is possible. Because already we are on the way to it. Yes or no? Or are you walking 3 steps and 4 back 2 steps every time? Well, that's still okay. You're still moving on. But you go back 3 steps and you fall back 3 steps, you're not getting nowhere. The coming perfect day. It's coming a day. We're all looking forward to that day. Proverbs 4:18. But the paths of the just is as the shining light. They shine more and more unto the perfect day. 1 Corinthians 13:10. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. We're looking for the day when everything is bright and glorious. John 17:23. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. You know, here we are, the world look at us as oddballs. And when that day comes, now when we have descended to Christ to rule in Him, when the sons of God is manifest. What a day there will be. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. We can reach the point. That's the reason why for the Bible. It's not about the quotes of Brother Branham. It's not about the quotes of John Wesley or Luther. It's all about the Word of God. It's okay to read those books to hear. It's okay to listen to those sermons. Fine. But you need to get yourself knowing to the Bible. Not what this man said, that man said. And then you find yourself not knowing what the Bible said. So but those that preach for the Bible, I know that. You know, Paul preached for the Old Testament. We know that. Still, the Berean was commended for being wise. To check the Bible. Because it is the Bible, the sacred scripture, the inspiration of the Word of God that prints you, that solidify you as a foundation in Christ. Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. We are His workmanship. That's why I say, you are not doing a work for God. And so the disciples asked Jesus, What must we do to do the work of God? Jesus Christ said, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom God sent. When God sent a message to a man, God sent a message to John West, John Baptist, Jesus Christ, Branham, or whatever it may be, you believe on Him whom God sent. Is that right? Yes. This is God's work. Because how can they hear except a preacher be sent? Is that right? And God is to the word, the words that are preached, He is working in you. He's taking His word to shape you, and we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before the foundation of the world. He ordained for us to walk in it. So if He ordained for us to walk in it, do you think that it will not be possible? Well, we should be able to attain unto perfection, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. For what purpose are we here today? Christ building us so that we become a habitation of God. We are the house of God. We are the church of God. We are the body of Christ. Wow, I didn't know it was so bad with this. It's a life problem, is it? The day of atonement brings about this perfection in the saints at Christ's second coming. The day of atonement brings about this perfection in the saints at Christ's second coming. John 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God? Amen. Are you or not? Are you? We are. Alright. And it do not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We shall be like Him. You see the point? Perfection. The perfection of God. Telios. The absolute sinless God said that we can be like Him. And He did it to who? To His Son, Jesus Christ. Right? But what did He do for us? He took your sin and He gave you the Spirit which the Father gave Him, so that you can be like the Father. After all, Christ is the firstborn among many brethren. Is that right? Is it not so? He's the Son of God, the Son of God. What about us? Having born of His same word, we are His children. We're all sons and daughters of God. That's why here we beloved, now we are the sons of God. Yeah, we are the sons of God. Now we all know that. Everyone knows that. It do not appear yet appear what we shall be. Well, we don't know. It doesn't appear yet to be. But when we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And we shall be known as we ought to be known. Right? Good. Psalms 17:15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied. When I awake with thy likeness, the image of Christ become a reality. Even now it's a reality, but it shall be as it should be when we see Christ face to face. So you comprehend all these things now, the perfection? These two verses are beautiful. Right? In this, the sacrifices of the law could never make perfect. Hebrews 7:11. Therefore, perfection will by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law. But what further need was there that another priest rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? Now that is very true here, because in the Old Testament they sacrifice, they keep on paying, sacrifice on the Day of Atonement, or when you sin, they bring an animal for sacrifice, but it did them no good. There is no perfection cannot come by sacrifices. Because the life of the animal cannot come back to them. They will sacrifice the animal, then they'll go away. Then tomorrow, you find they go back to the same old way. Alright? So he sacrifice that can make a person perfect. There will not need to be a change of a new priesthood. The Aaronic priesthood, alright, from the tribe of Levi, Aaron's being the high priest. If that priesthood or Levitical priesthood can make a person perfect, then there will be no need for the new priesthood called Melchizedek. And Melchizedek was that king of Salem, was Christ, king of peace, king of righteousness. You see? And because there was a change of the priesthood, there must be a change of order. Huh? And that's why Melchizedek, as the high priest of God, he must be the only sacrifice that make it possible. Hebrews 7:19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. What is the hope? The bringing in of a better hope, what is that? That is Christ. The gospel. That one is a better hope by which we can draw nigh unto God. Which was a figure for the time then present, in which world offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience. You know what, every time, you know, a person did something wrong, he's troubled. So, okay, I will give a sacrifice to the Lord. He sacrificed to the Lord. He thought, well, I'm okay. But it still bothered him. Huh? That's, you know what, the problem today we have, the Seventh-day Adventists, the people who keep the Sabbath. Huh? Yeah, they're very troubled. I can tell you they're troubled. Because they keep on keeping the Sabbath as if it was required. And so we must do it. We must do it. Sabbath, when the Sabbath? Sabbath is a Saturday. And they keep the Sabbath from what? Saturday evening? Oh, Friday evening until Saturday evening. No work for them. And not knowing that every day on this earth is man's day. Now God's day. And they are troubled. Their conscience is bothering them. And they think it's okay, but they still come back to the same old thing. Hebrews 10:1-4. For the law having a shadow. Remember this? The law is only a shadow. It's only a shadow of good things to come. Not the very image of the things. Can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For they would then not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipper once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again, make of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Now, the children of Israel, under the law, they were required to, on the Day of Atonement, to sacrifice a lamb. And after that is over, again, as the day continues to next year, they will still remember their sin. Because they know that it's not gone away. Because the blood of the bull and goats the life of the bull and the goats cannot return upon them. There's no life in it, it's only a sacrifice. And the mind will always remember they still have the sin. You only pay on the Day of Atonement. But for the account, they know they have to do it again. But now let me ask you here. Now that you are born again, are you conscious of the sin that you know that was committed? Or that were committed? Or even today, the present, that you committed even now. Or even in the future. Are you always conscious of those things around you? Or do your mind know that I am a child of God. I walk in the Spirit. If I make a mistake, I say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive my sin. And I move on. And then you know that God forgives you. Right? Then know that God cannot forgive them until they sacrifice that. Make that sacrifice. You see? And they are always looking forward to that day to make that sacrifice. For us, our sins is forgiven once and for all. Do you know that? The past, the present, the future. And all you have to do whenever you make this mistake, you fall, you are whatever. Oh, he says, Lord, I'm sorry. You. And if you have done really bad, he says, you go down on your knees and repent. Huh? Your original sin is taken care of. Your everyday sin is washed by the water of the Word of God. That's why it's so important for us to fellowship. And our sin being washed by the washing of the Word of God. By the washing of the Word of God. You know? Do you understand? Alright? The perfect once for all sacrifice of Christ has made possible a perfection from which the redeemed shall never fall. That's what I'm talking about. We're the redeemed. We can never fall. Hebrews 13:20-21. Now we read already. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, walking in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And being made perfect, He became the order of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Being made perfect. And by one offering, He had perfected forever them that are sanctified. By one offering, He had perfected forever them that are sanctified. They are sanctified forever. Already once and for all. Alright? So, that's the end of it, and I hope that you understand the principles of the doctrine of Christ, and this most important part, of course, outside of the six principles, going on to perfection. Remember, you are perfect, but not as you have attained yet. Huh? But when we see Christ face to face, then we will know Him, and we will see Him as He is, and we will know who we are, and everything will change. We will be like Him. Do you understand that? Amen. God bless you. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord Jesus, for the blessed word. Thank you for our word of truth, Father. The precious revelation that you have given us, Father, to know who we are. The Lord, you have made it possible once and for all, Father, our sins being taken care of and thrown away into the sea, not only of forgiveness, but also of forgetfulness. And you don't bring it to mind anymore. All things, O Lord, are made new. We thank you, Father. And they make new, Father, we are walking on this road to perfection. That we'll be like Jesus Christ, our Lord. Though we know that we are perfect and just as we stand before you, O Lord, let our heart be as perfect as it should be in all the things that we do and say, Father. And that we know the Father, as Paul said, no, consider not yet being attended to that status yet. Though he know that he was perfected, was just, made righteous by your blood, and yet, Lord, he moved on. Move on unto the day when Christ appeared. When then the one that is perfect is come. Then we will see him as he is, and we will know we as we are, and we will be like him. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for this great promise, for this very truth, O Lord, that you have given to us, Lord. And to know the Lord by the two immutable things that you have made, Lord, your promise, as your word, and the oath that you have taken unto yourself. We know, Father, all that which you have spoken and made and planned, we know, Lord, you will come to fruition. And the very important thing, the most important thing, Father, that you are giving it to us, is that we be like Jesus Christ. And we know, Lord, all this are made possible by the atonement. We thank you, Father. Bless this day, Lord, even as we dismiss from here today. May the rest of the day be as presence, Father, knowing that your Spirit is with us. Commit all things to you in Jesus' name, Father. Amen.